Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest. I'm actually excited for him to be on because he's going to explain how numerology works, because a lot of people think they know how it works or they're kind of pretty sure of how it works. But there's many different types, actually, I've learned in numerology. So his name is Richard King. So, Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy, and appreciate being on, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in on your Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be excited to learn a little bit about it. So, but, Richard, before we start really talking about numerology, let's talk a little bit about Richard and who he is and kind of what got you interested in numerology, because you do numerology, martial arts, poetry, and author. I mean, and you've worked them all together. So let's talk about Richard first, okay?
Well, I don't like to talk about myself too much, Nancy, but I'll give you a little brief bio because it's fair to your listeners. My versatility really comes, as all of our destinies do, from our numerology charts, which are created by higher powers, actually. We do have a destiny. Mine, in this particular life, happens to be filled with a lot of five energy, which is where I get my versatility from. I have a five expression, which is from my name. I have a five life path as well. Anybody with a five life path and five expression will also be very diverse in what they do. I love numerology. I've been doing it for 30 years. I love martial arts. I've been doing that for 42. Those are my two main sources of interest in a professional sense. And then I've shared my work with other people through my books. I've been very grateful throughout my life for the books that other people have written who have shared their knowledge with me, and I feel it's incumbent upon me to share the knowledge that I have with other people too. So that's why I like to write, and I love to write. I have a lot of three energy in my chart. For those people who have threes, it's a very dominant energy as far as communication goes. I got started in numerology when basically my life was falling apart 30 years ago, and being a believer in order, I decided that I needed to investigate more about why my life was doing this, because on the outside I was doing everything I should be doing to be successful, but it wasn't working. So I went on this journey to try to find answers, and through the course of my search I was introduced to astrology first, didn't care for that so much, then I found numerology, absolutely glummed onto it, and I love it. It is a very simple way that we can know our destiny and know the divine design of our life. And truly, there is a divine design to our life. And I will aver to you, tell you in truth, that our names and our birth dates do house the foundation and the blueprint of the destiny that we have in this particular life. I've been doing this for now 30 years, and every time I do a chart, I'm absolutely humbled by seeing the precision that God has created in our lives, and that precision is manifested in our numerology charts. Strange as it may seem, it is absolutely true. And so I've shared this information for the most part in several of my books, The King's Book of Numerology 1 and 2. The second one is based on forecasting. I do have a book called The Age of the Female, 1,000 Years of Yin, which describes this transition we're going through from the last 1,000 years to this 1,000 years of two energy, which is so chaotic. I also have a book called Blueprint of a Princess, Diana Frances Spencer, in which I take her entire life with numerology and explain it. I have other books too, but those are the dominant ones which have to do with numerology. And I would like to write other volumes. I have lots of volumes I can write in. If I ever get in a position to do that, I would love to share more information that I have. So that's kind of a little bit about me.
I do have a lot of people know about numerology, but they're not quite sure how it works. So, Richard, maybe can you explain, because you talked about how their name and their birthday and all that makes kind of a difference. What is that based on? You know, do they have numbers for their letters, or how does that work?
We are, think of the elemental chart of the periodic table, basically. Let's take gold, for example, and all those elements. They have letters to them, and they have numbers. Everything has a numerical vibration to it. Pythagoras was the father of numerology. He lived 2,500 years ago. He said, numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape. So he saw the connection between numbers and between life. Sir Isaac Newton, arguably the greatest scientist of all time, said, God created everything by number, weight, and measure. So here we see the influence of numbers again. Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist of the 20th century, said, everything is determined, the beginning as well as the end, by forces over which we have no control. All of these esteemed scientists understood destiny. They understood numbers. Now, the way numerology works, basically, is that our lives are not happenstance. We think our parents name us. In effect, our names are given to us through our parents, and those names consist of letters and, of course, numbers of our birth date. They have divine implication. Every letter in its arrangement of every name, including our full name, has a number attached to it. And those numbers are basically labels for energy patterns, for frequencies. And how they all work together is a beautiful orchestration of destiny. And so all we do when we do a numerology chart is to take someone's full name at birth and their birth data, and we compute the numbers associated with their name, with their life path, and we add these combinations, and we can determine what their soul interests are, the soul rules, the desires, the needs, the wants, the motivations of a person. There are two layers of that. One's the soul, one's the material soul. Then there is a nature, which represents the personality. It's how we do things. That comes from the consonants in the name. The soul energies come from the vowels. And the expression, it comes from the name. Our life path comes from our birth date. And then those two together, the expression and the life path, create what I call the PE or the performance experience. That is the role we will give on the great life stage. I include all of that in what I call the basic matrix, which is the substance of my first book, The King's Book of Numerology, Volume 1, Foundations and Fundamentals. And in that book, it shows you how to compute all of that. My research has gone beyond just single numbers, however. Early on in my experience and my study, and I started numerology studying in 1980, I realized that there were more than nine simple numbers. There had to be greater depth to numbers. So I started researching people's lives, groups of people, getting into their root structures. For example, every single number, 1 through 9, has 10 binary or two-digit numbered roots to it. Example, the number 1 is comprised or created from the number 10, the number 19, 28, 37, 46, 55, 64, 73, 82, and 91. And so every single number has this root system, this binary root system. They also potentially have trinary or triple roots. And so that's where we start getting the complexity of people's lives. So when I set up people's charts, I look at these numbers, I use my experience and my knowledge, and come to some kind of an assessment as to what their lives and destinies reveal to them. I don't know everything. I'm just a guy who loves numbers and likes to correlate those numbers with life. But after 30 years, I've got a pretty good handle on how a lot of things work, and so that's what I do. There are different numerology systems, and people have different understandings of how numerology works. I come by my understanding by life experience. In other words, when I started, there were a lot of things that I was reading in books that didn't make any sense to me, especially when I did people's charts. They weren't ringing true. So I started analyzing groups of people, such as generals or actors, actresses, singers, politicians, scientists, and so forth, to see what numbers were common in their charts. And then I would reverse engineer this, and that's how I've learned a lot of my particular knowledge, which I have placed in my own system called the King's Numerology. And by the way, King is not just Richard King. It's really King. There's only one King to me. That King is God. This is all his work. I'm just fortunate enough to be able to share this with other people. So that's what I do, Nancy.
Which is pretty cool. You know, I mean, I've talked to a lot of numerologists, and like I said, they have different ways of doing it. And not that anyone is better than anybody else, but they actually come up with different information. Now, you and I spoke just briefly before, you know, we actually called you back for the show. And so I'd like you, and I'm going to give you my granddaughter's birth date again, and I'd like you to just kind of do a breakdown on that for the listeners so they can kind of understand what you're saying as to how all the letters of the name relate and everything else relates so that they kind of get a better idea of how it works, okay?
Sure.
So my granddaughter's full name is Taylor Nicole Timme. That's T-I-M-M-E. But Nicole is not spelt with an I. It's spelt with a Y. And then her birth date, which is pretty unique, is February 2nd, 2000.
Right.
So now if somebody called and said, okay, this is what it is, what would you start off by telling them?
Well, the first thing, if they wanted a full reading, I would take that information and construct a numerology chart. It takes me usually about an hour to construct their chart. And then I would think about that, ponder it, look at the relationships of the numbers. We would, at the time they gave me their information, set up a date for their reading, and then we would have the reading, and that would be at least an hour of time. And then I would use whatever knowledge I have and skills I have to interpret their chart for them, and they can ask questions and do all of that. Now, I must say that when we give dates, my preference is that people always put the day first, then the month, and then the year. This has grave implications as far as forecasting is concerned. When I started my numerology experience in 1980, every book I'd ever read said month, day, year. On my second visit to a numerologist in Los Angeles called Helena Davis, this was a wonderful, loving woman, spindly. She was about 5'7", 5'8". She took me by the hand. She said, now, son, because I expressed an interest in wanting to do numerology, so she took me by the hand and she led me over to her table and she basically chided me and she pointed her finger and shook and she said, now, you listen to me. She said, when you do forecasting, you always put the day first, then the month, and then the year. You never put the month, day, and year. She said, I have been doing it wrong for 25 years, but this is what I have discovered to be the truth. So I was very grateful to Helena for telling me this. I believed her, but I had to prove it to myself. So I went back home after my session with her, and I simply started constructing a T-chart of people who were old enough and whose histories I knew, and compared the two versions. And in fact, Helena Davis was absolutely correct. We always put the day first, then the month, and then the year. And my work now, after all these decades and the endorsements and testimonials I have from different clients, I think will prove that that is the reality. My work has usually been known for its accuracy, and I can thank Helena Davis for that. I don't know how that ever happened in the West. The European version is to always put the day first, then the month, and then the year. So that's the first thing. I won't get technically into why that works, but I can at another time. So when we just look at this birthday, 2 February 2000, we notice, of course, that it is all twos. And so this life that Taylor is going to be having is going to be filled. First of all, it's a six energy when you add all of those numbers together, okay? And six rules the family. It rules the domestic environment. It rules the heart. It moves everything that has to do with personal love and nurturing. But the inner part of this six life path is all about twos, which is all about relationship. Now, as far as she is concerned, this is very good because twos and sixes blend very well together. Twos deal with close personal relationships. Sixes deal with the family environment. So her whole life is going to be one, dealing with support and nurturing of other people. The heart's going to get involved and that whole nurturing aspect. So she has a six life path, but the crowns of those epics, which we call the day, month, and year, are all twos. That's very important. Then we look at her name. Very briefly, Taylor Nicole Timme. When we add up, we take those letters of her name, we reduce those to their corresponding numbers, and then we add those up, and that comes up to be a nine. Nine is the number of the universal stage. It's the number of the public stage. It's universal in scope. And so Taylor's vibration is going to harmonize with everybody. The nine is a very unique number because it is the only number which, when added to any other number, equals that number. This makes people who have nine expressions, and one-ninth of the population in the world has a nine expression. When you take, there are only nine numbers, so that's how that works. These people are very charismatic. They understand other people, and this is why. Because let's say someone comes to Taylor, and they are a four person. Well, when that four mixes with Taylor's 9 expression, that's 13, 1 and 3 are 4. So now the person that came to Taylor is going to feel as though Taylor understands her, because in effect, when she talks to Taylor, the outcome of talking to her is this person, is the 4 energy. That person leaves, Taylor talks to a 7 person. 7 and 9 are 16, 1 and 6 are 7. So that 7 person is going to have an affinity for Taylor, because that person will see also that Taylor resonates with her. So that 9 is a very charismatic number, very chameleon. It can change from person to person, but it's very powerful. It's what I call the grand elemental of all numbers. In fact, if you add all of the numbers 1 through 9 together, the outcome is itself a 45-9. If you add the numbers 1 through 8 together, the outcome is a 36-9. 9 is very powerful. Plus, there are 360 degrees in a circle, which is, of course, a 9 in reduction. So she's a very charismatic individual, and will be, even though she's only 10 right now. And she will always be that way. She will always have people resonate with her. And when we take this expression of hers and we mix it with her life path, her 6th life path, we add the 9 and the 6 together, then we get a 6 in reduction. 9 and 6 are 15, 1 and 5 are 6. So in simple terms now, we see that her life path is a 6, but also the role that she will be giving in life is a 6 as well. So the expression basically is the actor or actress. The life path we can see is the script of a person's life, and the PE is the role that that actress reading the script will give on the great life stage for her entire life. Sixes and nines work together in this way. Six is the most personal, loving of all energies. Nine is the most public, loving of all energies. It tends to be more impersonal than the personal six, but it is still a number of love and generosity and all of that in its positive side. Now, please know that every number has a dark side and a light side. When we hold a coin, we hold both sides simultaneously. We cannot just hold a good side or a bad side. And if we're going through dark times or rough times, then we need to just flip the coin and look at its positive end, because balance is very critical to our overall health and well-being. So all of her life, she's going to be dealing in some kind of love issues with the public on a personal level as well as a public level. Now, what's interesting about Taylor is that her soul energy, what she most desires in life, is a 1. The 1 is the energy of the self. It's the energy of action. It's the energy of independence. It's the energy of male-dominated yang energy. One of the roots of this soul is a 46, which is going to make her very home-oriented and wanting to be the head of household, so to speak. When we add this 1 soul to her 6th life path, we get a 7 material soul. This is also very important to understand, because it's going to make her very spiritually oriented, very deep, very reclusive. She's going to be a person who loves to think, loves to reflect, loves to ponder. The 1 and the 7 together, which form this core of what she really wants out of life, are to be isolated, to think, to be inside herself. So were I her father or the mother, knowing this, if she had to say, I want to be alone today, I want to go play music, I want to write, I want to think, I need to take a walk, or whatever it is, then I would allow her to do that. Because 7 people particularly must have time alone to recharge. If they don't get it, they get very antsy, and they could even start fights and all kinds of things, because they need to have time alone. That's what happens with 7 people. So she needs that. And interestingly, and good for her, this first part of her life, with the name Taylor, Taylor is a 1 energy. When we add that 1 energy to her 6th life path, we come up with a 7. Taylor will last for 28 years. So for 18 more years, or from birth to age 28, Taylor is going to be in a 1-7 time reference, which is going to harmonize with her soul. So she's going to like this period of her life very much. It will change when she becomes 29. We won't go into that right now. But for this first part, she will harmonize with these energies, and they will be very comfortable for her. 7 is also a very spiritual number, potentially. It can also be very chaotic. That's the flip side of the 7. Pythagoras said 7 was the most spiritual of all numbers, because it was a synthesis of the square of matter, the 4, and the trine of spirit, the 3. So it potentially has great spiritual, sacred potential. On the other side, it can have just as demonic potential. So we always have to understand that. Just because somebody has a seven doesn't mean they're going to be enlightened or seek enlightenment. They can seek the dark side as well as they can seek the light side. But they will want to have privacy. They will want to be reclusive. They will want to think things through. It makes them very deep, but they can be deep for a good or nefarious purpose. Now, with Taylor, one of the things that she must understand and that her parents, I hope, would understand is that her nature is an eight. Eight is a number of integration. It's a number of social interaction. It is the number of management, of execution, of making things happen. Now, Taylor has no eights in her name. In other words, she has no H's, Q's, or Z's. So we call this a void. It's the only void that she has. When we have voids in our life, generally they create a lack of the very vibration that the void represents. Now, when we see this void appear in the basic matrix, as Taylor has in her eight nature, that tends to mitigate the negative effects of the eight void. That said, her nature, which is an eight, and her material soul, which is a seven, are going to clash. Seven and eight are exact opposites. Sevens want to go inside. They like their reclusion. They like their privacy. They like to be alone, especially when that's corroborated by a one soul. The eight energy, however, her personality, is very outgoing. It likes to connect socially, not internally. So sometimes she will have a pull to go out. Sometimes she will have a pull to go in. Because she has a nine expression, this is going to strengthen the eight's ability to take her out into the public, because nine is a very public number. She's a very public person. She likes to integrate. But there is that side of her that likes to be alone. Her material nature is a five, which is going to make her very diverse. It's going to give her a lot of energy. She's going to be very active. She's going to like to do a lot of things. Eight and five together is a combination that makes for somebody who's very social, likes to do a lot of different things and experience a lot of different things. The thing with the five that everybody must understand is that five rules freedom. The opposite side of freedom is slavery. Freedom is not license carte blanche. Freedom is action taken in consideration of consequence. Everything has consequences. And if people let their five energy of experience and exploration and sensuality to run away with them, they will become enslaved by the very thing that they thought was giving them their freedom. So we have to be very careful when we have five energy in our charts. There is a point in there where we have to be very temperate. We have to be very self-controlled. Otherwise, we will rue the day that we wanted this freedom to go experiment here, there, or everywhere, because it's going to come back and bite us in the end. As we know, this is a cause and effect world. And this is a law that affects every one of us. Nobody overcomes it, whether they're king, prince, pauper, it doesn't matter. What we sow, we reap. What we do always comes back to us. So if we can operate on a very balanced level, a very spiritual, pure level, then that's what we're going to get in return. If we don't, then we're going to get just the opposite. So overall, we see that this young lady is going to have a very loving life style. She's going to be very independent, wants to be independent, likes to be alone, but still likes to merge and mix with people in a variety of ways. The five, by the way, is the midpoint of the alphanumeric spectrum between the numbers 1 and 9. So it has the ability to go up the chart and down the chart more than any other number. That's where it gets its versatility from. It's also very communicative. It can also be very wild if there are other places in the chart where it becomes dominant. Taylor does not have that, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. Now, one of the things about her chart, I'm sorry?
I said good.
but to know, and if she were my child, I would explain this to her in various ways, that she needs to understand that five is a wonderful energy, but all energies must be used purely. There was a saint called Dadu, and I love this phrase. He says, hold pure, stay pure, say pure, take the pure, give the pure. Everybody on a spiritual path must understand that phrase, especially if they have 7 and 5 energy in their charts. As long as the energy is pure, then we get pure back. If we plant pure seeds of love and devotion, then that's what we harvest, love and devotion. But if we plant seeds of nefarious activities and adulteries and sensuous delights and all those kinds of things, then that's what's going to come back. We're going to get enveloped and become enslaved by the very things that we planted in the first place. Now, one of the things about Taylor's life matrix, which is the core of her life path, that's where we take her birth date, we add up the numbers, and subtract them. The challenges are the subtractive part. Every one of her challenges, except for her first, is a 9-9. That means it's IR set, for those people who understand my work. It's dyad, is a 9 and a 9. This is a girl who's further now going to be challenged by the public. She's going to be in the public eye. She's not going to be able to avoid that. It's impossible for her to avoid that. And her expression is a 9, so she will either be a challenge to herself or she will be a challenge to the public. She is going to have massive amounts of public energy in her chart. On the top side of this, her life is going to be filled with work and service. Her first, second, and fourth pinnacle are all fours. The outcome of those energies are fours. That's about work. That's about service. That's about constancy and devotion, which is very good. But the core of this pinnacle is about 8 energy. And because she's a 9, when we add that 8 to the 9, the outcome is going to be an 8. So she's, and that's going to also harmonize with her 8 nature. So this is a very good thing. Her life matrix does not show any basic turmoil that I've seen in other charts. It's going to be a very public life for her, and she's going to be doing a lot of work. She's going to be doing a lot of service, and she's going to be serving people in a public way as well as a personal way because of her 6 life path and her 6 PE. So that's pretty much a synopsis, a really quick overview of her life so far.
Yeah, which, you know, the quickness that you did with it is very, very good, because it's like we've not really been separated, because her mother, myself, and my granddaughter, and also my mom, so 4 generations of women all are in constant contact with each other, because we all live either with each other or next to each other. So I know exactly what you're saying.
And when you look at the 2 energy, she was born on the second month and the 2 year. All of that is 2 energy. All of that is female energy. 2 rules females. 1 rules the males. What we do not see in this chart that is quite common with women is you'll see a 1 challenge sometimes. And if it's in a challenge position in the first part of the life, then that could be problems with male energy. She has no challenge for the first 30 years of her life, but it is a lot of female energy, the energy of relationship, is going to dominate her life. And she has 2s in her chart, and she has 4s, which is a very good thing. So there's not a lot of rockiness going on in her life, but it will be public, and I would want her to understand that. And then I would give her ideas about how to serve the public and be gracious and kind to people, because the 9 can be very arrogant if it's not careful, because 9 is a very powerful energy. 9 people, like, let's say you go in a store and you hear somebody talking on a cell phone very loudly, that's usually a 9 person. They love to broadcast. They love to announce themselves. They love the stage. They love writing. They love education. They love theater. But we would want her to be humble and to, because she's going to be very different. This is a very different person. You don't see this kind of combination very often. A good example of this would be Sarah Palin's chart. Now, Sarah Palin has an 8 expression. Every one of her challenges, all 4 of them, are 9s, but they play themselves out in the realm of the public, of business and commerce and interaction and socialization. Taylor's 9 plays itself out in the realm of the 9, so she could be very educated. She could want to learn, but she is definitely going to be involved in the public. And we would want her to be kind, to be generous, to understand that all people don't have her energies of charisma, because people are going to want to come up to her and just talk to her and be around her. And if she's not careful, she'll get a big head, and she will say, oh, look, I must be very important. So what I would tell my children, and I have told them, is that God gives you these gifts. You need to honor those, because he can take away what he gives. When we look at the chart of Tiger Woods, for example, or Michael Jackson and some of these people, of whom I have articles on my website, richardking.net, in the numerology section and in the article section, we can see how they have violated the power that they were given. And if we violate power, it will come back to us as powerfully as we violated it. If we do well with that power, then it will come back to us and serve us well. So we have to understand both sides of a coin and how to use that energy so it helps not only us, but everyone, and does not create trouble in our life, but rather creates blessings in our life.
Great. Now, you did your website real quick, but slow it down so they can get in and say it again, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My website is richardking.net, richardking.net, and there are a lot of different buttons on that website, and they will take you to different aspects of my work. On the top row at the very end, they will see a button for numerology. If they click on that, it will take them to my numerology webpage, which further has other buttons, which will explain my work and so forth. And then there are articles on that site, and they can go there as well. In fact, if you allow me, for those people who are listening, I do have some numerology reading specials for your audience. One is that I have created a page. It would be richardking.net/Wallace. And if people were to go to that page, they will see your name there. And I have, as long as you're open to it, and I'm sure you probably are, we've discussed this a little bit, I have a special 50% off rate for everybody who comes through your website. They will link to this particular page. My normal readings are $300. They get a full numerology chart with all the things I've explained, but in depth. And it's only half price, so they save $150. That's $150 for them. But for those people who are listening today, I'd like to offer a special discount to them. And if anybody signs up before midnight tonight, then I will do a full chart for them for only $100. So that's $200 off. There is a button on that page, richardking.net/Wallace, and they would click on that. I would get the notification of payment. I'll hook up with them. They'll give me their name. We'll set a time for their reading, and then we'll do that. But that only lasts through midnight tonight. I will take that off after midnight, and then they can still get the $150 version, which is still half price off, so it's still a good one. But as a special reward, those people who are listening now who have always wanted a chart can get it for a third the normal price if they're looking for that.
Which is great, and I thank you, and I'm sure the listeners do too. Richard, how important do you think it is for, say, the entire family to have a numerology chart done so that each person kind of knows how they fall in with the family and who they are? How important is that?
Well, to me, it's critical. I have guided my children by their numerology charts. Now, mind you, I didn't know as much when they were younger as I know when I was older. But as my children grew and they had their children, there were things that I was able to tell my children about naming their children, which is very important for the life of that child. We know that we can't control the birth date necessarily, but we can control the name. One thing I would reference or recommend to your listeners, as I recommend to everybody, is to ensure that when you make a name, that that name has no voids in it. Now, that means that, so for example, the letters A, J, and S all reference a 1. So a person should have either an A, a J, or an S in their name. B, K, and T equals a 2. So they should have at least a B, K, or a T in the name, and so forth. That information is on my website, the chart, the numerical charts, how to compute a name. All that's on my website in the numerology section. The reason I say that is because when there are voids, and the voids show up in a challenge position particularly, and if they're absent in the basic matrix, that child will have a very difficult time in life. Now, it may be that their destiny is to have a very difficult life, in which case people won't take this information to heart and they won't use it. However, if they do take it to heart, then it would mean that whatever child they are bringing into this world for this incarnation would not have as difficult a time as they might have otherwise. I think that can be a blessing. Now, that said, we take Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton, they had multiple, like 3 and 4 voids in their charts. When we have voids, it does allow us to focus on certain other things, but there are also problems that we can have. And if we know the lives of Newton and Einstein, they did have their issues, as we all do. But when we have no voids, there are less issues to deal with. So that's one thing I would recommend. Now, if we can get everybody on the same page in a family to understand everybody else's chart, then that would be absolutely awesome, because everybody then can understand what everybody needs in their life. And that's kind of the whole issue. True story, this was back in the summertime, right before a bunch of seniors went off to college. I was asked to be entertainment at a birthday party. And so I went there. I started doing these little mini readings, 15-minute readings, about 5 o'clock. I was still doing them when the party broke up, basically around 9:15. But there was this young man over in the corner who was very shy, very withdrawn. I could tell he probably had a lot of 7 energy in his chart. He didn't want to come up, but he really did. So he watched all these other kids come up. Finally, he came up to me for the last reading of the night. And he sat down, and I started doing his chart very, very simply, and sure enough, he did have 7 energy in his chart. Interestingly enough, the mother sat down beside me on my left side on this park bench as I began his reading. I told this young man that it was okay if he liked to be alone. It was okay if he was not vocal or if he did not want to socialize like a lot of other people do. You see, most people, teachers included, by the way, they think that if a person is not socialized, if they don't always engage other people and tap them on the back and so on and so forth, that there's something wrong with them. This is absolutely incorrect. 7 people are not social people. They like to be alone. The mother, upon hearing me give this young man this brief reading and how it was okay to go into his room and play his guitar or do some reading or withdraw from other people. And by the way, this young boy just lifted his head and smiled from ear to ear because finally somebody in his life understood who he was. Now, he was about 17 years old. The mother sitting next to me said, "Oh, my gosh, I have been raising him wrong my whole life." Now, I don't know that she raised him incorrectly, but she had a lot of 8 energy in her chart, so she was very social. And she makes the mistake and made the mistake that so many parents do in raising their children. She was raising her child the way she was, not the way he was. In life, we don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. I call this numeric myopia. There's an article on my website, on the numerology section, entitled that. In fact, it's this month's title for my number news. So if anybody would like to get on my numerology list, they can just go to my website, richardking.net, and sign up through there, and then they'll get a free newsletter and updates and so on and so forth. But this woman who had all this 8 did not understand what her son needed. And that's why it's so important to understand each other. A wife to a husband, if a spouse has a 7 soul, for example, that person needs to understand that person needs distance. If the person has a 9 soul, then that person's going to want to be very public. If the person has a 2 soul, they're going to be very relationship oriented. And so when we understand all of the interrelations of people, and they are there, by the way, all of our charts are interrelated with everybody in our lives, then we can harmonize our relationships, make them much more positive and meaningful to everyone. And even if we don't have the energy, at least we can understand it intellectually and try to work with everyone in our family environment rather than just trying to do what most of us have always done, which is work on the off what we know, which may not be correct as far as what another person needs.
Which I think is very, very important, again, for parents, because, most parents really don't understand their children, especially the children of today. And somehow they think that the children are not doing what they need to do, or they're too rambunctious, or they're too this, they're too that. And so I really agree, Richard, it's very, very critical that parents understand their children. Now, what happens, Richard, if somebody gets married and they change their name? Does that change stuff for them, or does that not change stuff?
It really doesn't. In all the charts I've been doing for 30 years, the destiny in 99% of the cases, Nancy, is always established with the name at birth, the full name at birth, and the birth date. Married names are sort of like veils. They're very light energy coverings, but they don't change the destiny. The destiny is marked by the name. Now, that said, for name changes, when we look at Joseph Stalin, he changed his name in his late teens and early 20s when he was becoming a revolutionary. When he changed his name, he became the evil Joseph Stalin that we all know him to be. And Stalin actually killed more people than Hitler. I don't know how many people know that. And they were his own people. He was very vicious. Now, here's a guy with an 88-7 soul with his new name, and there we see the dark side of that 7 energy. The light side of that 7 is about saints. I know one particular spiritual master had 2 names at birth, and both of his birth names were 88-7. So then we have the flip side of that energy. But in most cases, 99% of the cases, our destiny is determined by our birth name. Even I've seen cases where children were christened 3 weeks, 6 weeks after their birth. The new name is not the name that sets the destiny. It's just almost always the original birth name.
In the case of twins being born, because they're going to have a different name someplace, I mean, one might be Johnny and one might be Tommy, that's going to give the children themselves an individual personality and an individual life. But most parents try to force upon twins to be alike, like they dress them alike, they want them to think alike. What advice can you give for that?
Well, the thing about twins is that they oftentimes are very different. The names are absolutely right. The names can change everything in a chart. They could make one person, the twins, totally different. So if the twins, though they have the same genes, they're born on the same date, if they like to do things together as twins, and I have had twins as martial arts students in my life, and they just love to do things. They were just very comfortable with each other. They, even after they graduated, they went to the same college. When they graduated, they lived in the same house. I think that they're still single. They just love being together. That's okay. I think the problem happens when we try to force our children to be something that we want them to be, not what they want them to be. Here's another true story. Not early in my martial arts experience, but there was a young man who came to study with me for years. And he was 6 weeks away from his black belt test. Now, it takes a long time to get a black belt in my system. And he quit. And I said, "Are you crazy?" I said, he was about 16 at the time. "Why are you stopping? You've been studying now for like 8 years, 9 years. Why would you stop 6 weeks before you got your black belt? That's an enormous achievement." And he said, "Well, my father wants this for me. He's always wanted this for me. I don't want it for myself. I want to sit in my room and play my guitar." Well, I don't know if the child was just scared of the black belt test or if he was just rebelling against his father. But we often see that scenario where the father tries to push upon his son what the father wants the son to be when the son may want something totally different. It's the same thing with twins. The name is going to change everything. And when the numbers of our birth date mix with those names and the letters of those names, it can create a harmony or a resonance or a dissonance. It creates a lot of things. Again, mentioning what you believe in and I believe in is understanding the inner workings of our children's lives. Just like when in your the child's miracle mind, you say that you use this as an alternative approach to help discover who children really are. And that's the key to raising kids. Who are these kids? My children, I have two daughters. They are grown now, 32 and 29. But they were born on the same day, 3 years apart. They were the exact same weight, the exact same length. They both had a mole over their right temple, and they are as different as night and day. And they didn't share the same birthday. They shared the same day and month, but not the same year. They may have been twins in another lifetime to have so much precision in this lifetime. However, they're very different. And so I looked at their charts. One of my children was very mental. In a positive sense, she's a very studious person. The other one's very social. They both had very successful careers in high school and college. But I would like to think that my guidance helping them follow their energies, not what one needed to be and one didn't. So one who was knowledgeable became a CPA, and the other one went on to Yale and play soccer and so on and so forth. But they were very different children. So to me, it's critical to understand who the children are. And I've got my kids understanding what their children are like so they know how to help raise their children and guide them so the kids don't grow up with any complexes, but they grow up with a sense of their own worth, their own value, and enjoying who they are, not what somebody else wants them to be.
Yeah, that's key. Could you give out your website again, please?
Yes. It is Richard King, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, K-I-N-G, like King Richard backwards, but it's richardking.net. And my email, for those of you who want to contact me, is rich@richardking.net. Or, and there's a button on my homepage, richardking.net. You can contact me that way. Or it's arichking@att.net.
That's cool. A Rich King.
Yeah, something like that. A little play. Since God gave me this name in this life, I decided to use it. It's kind of fun. But anyway, it's kind of interesting.
When a couple are starting to date, Richard.
Oh, good question. Oh, okay.
how can them or one or both or whatever, really kind of find out who's really there. Because most times dating is not necessarily the most truthful thing up front.
I'm glad you asked that question. I don't know if you've been to my website, Nancy, or not, but my most recent, not my most recent book, but the one that I wrote last year after 30 years of research, is called The 5-Minute Lover, Discovering the Secrets of Your Life, Loves, and Relationships in 5 Minutes. And I have another website called yourlovenumbers.com, which has a home study course for only $85. It's a great steal for the information that you get. And it shows people how to compare their basic matrix, what I call their love lines in this case, with another person's to see if they will harmonize, to see if they will resonate, to see if this relationship has meaning or if it's just going to be a temporary thing or if there are going to be problems and so on and so forth. The background of that particular book, The 5-Minute Lover, and the website yourlovenumbers.com happened because when my marriage was falling apart 30 years ago, the thing that motivated me the most was understanding relationships. So I went around asking couples if I could do their numbers because I needed to find something. I knew there had to be some logical explanation as to why some people get along and some people don't. Because marriage, let's face it, it's critical. Now, even though it's destined, who's not to say that by understanding the right knowledge that we can't then make for better relationships? And I think there are far too many divorces, far too many relationships that fall apart. So what I want to do and why I made this price so reasonable so people can find out what's going on in their relationship life. So then I wasn't getting anywhere. I created two criteria. I needed to find people who had been married at least 10 years and who, when I asked them to rate their marriage on a scale of 1 to 10, they would say 10 immediately. It took me 3 years to find 21 couples like that. They do exist, but they're very happy. They're very content. Their marriages are wonderful. And in doing their numbers, though, after the first three, the same correspondences kept showing up in these charts. And I've known this information for like 30 years, and I finally published it last year because I wanted, actually selfishly, to see if I could have a perfect relationship so I can speak from experience in that. That hasn't happened to me because of my destiny, so I decided, well, King, it's too selfish of you not to publish this information because I know it's working. I can take any two people, do their charts, and explain their relationship to them, and that would cost them hundreds of dollars. So by creating this little home study course, then they can get that for only $85, which is not even the price of going to Disneyland for a day. And they don't even have to get the home study course. You can buy the book on Amazon for $30 or so, The 5-Minute Lover. But the workshop course has a workbook that goes to it, and I offer some bonuses on there as well. So it, to me, again, you can truly find out who is compatible and get through all that nonsense right up front. I could take it, you know, you could, once you understand this, you could do these numbers in 5 minutes and know whether you should even go out with somebody or not or whether it's going to work for you. And I think that's pretty critical.
It's
and
very critical.
A lot of time and work. Yeah, I think so.
See, well, it is because most people today get on the internet and they may be very, very truthful about what they're saying, but the majority of the other people that are they're going to be contacting or contacting them usually is not quite as truthful as they should be. And yet people get stuck on that and they go, oh, this is the one. I'm going to move over to Europe because this one means everything to me. And when I do my consultations and I look at my stuff and I go, I don't think that's the thing to do. You know, it crushes them because it's like, what do you mean? This is my soulmate. It's like, well, not really. You have to understand the concept. There are many soulmates, but I don't think this is one of them. So if somebody had a guide like that, Richard, to help them real quick in 5 minutes determine whether they really should waste the time, that would be great. So give out your website again and tell them how they get all of this good stuff from you.
Okay. Well, my primary website is richardking.net, and on that website, you'll see a little tab that says Your Love Numbers. If you click on that, it will take you to this other website called yourlovenumbers.com. And basically, if you buy that workshop online, it's all digital. I will get the receipt from PayPal, and then I will email you all of the things that you will need, which includes the book itself, The 5-Minute Lover, but in a digital format. It's not hardbound, obviously, but you'll still have that. And then you'll have the entire workshop book itself, which is 167 pages, and they can read about on yourlovenumbers.com. They can read about what other people have said. I have a lot of PhDs on there who have corroborated my work, other people who are relationship counselors who also have found it very beneficial for them. I have some other bonuses, like I said, on there, some forms they can use and all that to make their work easier. But here's the thing, too, Nancy, is that when you ask somebody their name, how do we know they're being truthful and honest?
Right.
This age, one of the things about this age that we're in, this 1,000 years, is that 2 is a number of treachery and deceit in its dark side. And we are finding that people aren't necessarily as honest as they should be. I mean, you almost have to get a security check on anybody that you date anymore because so many people are not being honest and not being truthful about who they are. And if they can give you, or will give you their full names and so on and so forth, then you can compute all that. But you've got to start from an honest position and know that that's the real stuff. Another thing, too, is that in this generation, sexual interaction has become so free and so casual that people like to hook up based only on that. Well, that's so superficial. That's not going to create a long-term relationship, and it's going to get people in a lot of trouble if they just base their relationship on any kind of sexual liaisons that they want to have with somebody else. It's got to go much deeper than that. If they're serious about a relationship lasting and enduring and wanting something to last for a lifetime, then they need to understand who the person is and how their energies match with their own energies and so on and so forth. So that's what that book is all about. It's not meant to help you hook up with somebody for like a month or two. It's designed to show you how to create the kinds of energies that will generate a long-term, meaningful, substantial, deep relationship.
Great. I'm so glad you said that because it should help people. Now, we only have like a couple minutes left, but during that time, Richard, I want you to tell the people about your black belt, the book you have for the black belt, because
it really
kind of ties in with everything, and also the name of your institute.
Sure. The book I have, first of all, I've been teaching martial arts for 31 years professionally, and I've been studying for 42. I have my own studio. It's called the Karate Institute of America. On my website, richardking.net, there's a link to that karate site as well if they want to go there. The book, my most recent book, is called The Black Belt, A Book of Life, Secrets of a Martial Arts Master, which is a compilation of 40 vignettes that I've made, which deal with principles of life. They don't deal with martial art techniques. And people can click on the books section of my website, the books link, and it'll take them to all of my books, and the Black Belt Book of Life is the top book there, and they can read about what other people have said about it and so on and so forth. But it gives a foundation. For example, one of the vignettes talks about your life, your responsibility. Another one is balance is primary. There's another one called the secret of greatness, and different kinds of things that I have learned in my experience, and I'm not a young guy anymore, of what makes a person successful. And it's not money. It's how we live our life and how we deal with our life and the destiny that we've been assigned.
Which, again, is real important because some people forget. So, Richard, one more time, give out your website just before we have to go off.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy, for allowing me to do this. It's richardking.net, and the other site we were talking about is yourlovenumbers.com. If you go to richardking.net, that will take you to everything else. That's the portal to all of my sites. I do have other sites there, so that'll get you there.
Great. Richard, it's been very, very nice you taking the time to talk with people, and I'm sure they'll enjoy this. And I really hope that they take you up on your offer for, you know, their charts and everything, because most people haven't got a clue who they really are, and it's time that they start to learn.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for having me. I'm deeply grateful for you allowing me to share this information, and we'll see how it goes, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
All right. You take care, and thanks again.
Thank you, everybody. For listening. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. That's okay. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Don't party too hardy the rest of the weekend. We know it's a holiday, so be careful, and we'll talk next time. Take care. Bye now.